always desires the company of Ramachandra Chakravarti.
Dai. Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
So today's Vaitacharya's appearance day, anniversary. And I was planning on coming and listening here. My name is Hanumat Preshak. Yeah, I don't know everybody. And I joined ISKCON in 1974. I got initiated in San Francisco. And then was here most of the time in temple in San Francisco, moved to Berkeley, and I was there, and treasurer, president, different things. You know. And then 84 I took sannyas. And then I'm just traveling and preaching. We have programs in South America. Everything very good. So we'll be here for 2 weeks. You know, staying at Bali Madan's house. And tomorrow we'll go to Srivas's house. And then Friday, Modesto. Saturday, Grass Valley. Sunday, Berkeley. And come back here Tuesday for Nityananda's festival. And we'll be here for a week like that. You know. So very nice to be here. You know. It's a very good opportunity. The Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas. This is, you know, the Prabhupada says, God in five features, right? And people say, God is love, God is one, yeah, God is truth. Well, yeah, but also there's variety and like that. You know. So even in Christian tradition, for example, Prabhupada says the Godhead, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I was always wondering what the Godhead was. So finally I looked in the Dictionary of Theology, or something like that, right? And it has that the Godhead is the aspect of God in the Trinity. You know, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is the Christian Trinity, right? So we have the same thing, God the Father, Krishna, God the Son, or Logos, this is Balaram, Guru, and then Holy Spirit, or Paramatma. Yeah, same thing, yeah. And then also the Catholic Church also accepts Mary as being, you know, what do you call it, that Shakti Tattva, you know, Radharani, and then Saint Francis or Narada Muni. Yeah. So Krishna, Balaram, Mahavishnu, and then Radharani and Narada Muni, or Krishna, Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, and Srivas, like that. Same thing. At least this is different aspects, but all these are all personalities. We're also personalities, but the supreme personality, right, of Godhead is Krishna. yeah, different aspects like that. And also the word Godhead comes from the word Godhood, like you say womanhood or childhood or manhood, right? So Godhood, right? Yeah, this is that. It means like a quality of. The supreme personality of godliness, right? Like that. Yeah. So today is the appearance day of Advaita. It's interesting, but first is Advaita, the next is the appearance of Nityananda, then the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. Yeah. And I think it might have been the Puri's appearance days before that, even. You know, he's a spirit. Who's Advaitacharya's spiritual master? Might have been the Puri. Yeah. One time, Nimai, Hare Krishna, die. One time, Nimai was with his friends in Navadvip, and Advaita Acharya, he's the Acharya, he was one of the leaders, you know, of the Brahmin community. Where was Advaita Acharya's house? In Shantipur, like that. He was one of the leaders of the Brahmin community, like that. And he was like, you know, manifesting his qualities like a smarta Brahmin, like following all the rules and regulations, very strictly, coming from high class, you know, family and so on like that, you know. So one time he was going to celebrate Madhavendra Puri's Guru Puja, his spiritual master's, you know, Vyasa Puja, Advaita Acharya. So he's making all the preparations and everything, and people are coming and going, and several days getting ready. And then Nimai went there with his friends, and they're looking, there were rooms like this full of rice, you know, stacked up, right? Another room full of beans, another room full of silk, another room full of ghee, turmeric, betel nuts, you know, palm leaves, bananas. There's just all these rooms just full of preparations and Brahmins coming and Advaita engaging everybody, telling them what to do for different activities, like that. Yeah. So it was going to be a big Guru Puja, So Nimai was wandering around with his associates, his friends, he's a young boy, and it says that Chaitanya Bhagavat, that Nimai thought to himself secretly that Advaita Acharya must be Lord Shiva, because nobody could manifest opulence like this but Lord Shiva. So, oh my God. Well, thank you. What a beautiful. Wow. Where'd you get these? Where'd you get these flowers, you rascal? Where from you got these flowers? I made them in the back. Yeah. So, yeah, 500 years ago, right? And all these people are coming. Yeah. And I was reading the day, I was looking at it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, of course, in the beginning, as chapter 6 is the glories of Advaita Acharya, like that. And chapter 12 is the branches of Advaita Acharya. You know? And it's describing, you know, that Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, he expands himself. Again, it's God is one, but he has different expansions like that. So Balaram is Prakash. You know, like probably many Indians, you have, you know, family relations called Prakash, Ravi Prakash, Chandra Prakash. So Prakash means manifestation. You know, so the first manifestation of Lord Chaitanya is
Nityananda.
Yeah, yeah. And Nityananda's mood is
mercy.
Yeah, that's cool. Mercy going down and going up.
Service.
Yeah, yeah. He's a supreme personality of Godhead, servant, like that. He would wander all around Navadvipa with clothed only in the four directions. That's all he was wearing was the four directions, if you understand what I mean. He goes down the street. And he was absorbed in the mood of a cowherd boy, and he was saying, I am a servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, I am a servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, I am a servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. How does it go? Baja Gauranga, Bolo Gauranga, Gauranga Shiksha Koro. Worship Gauranga. Chant Gauranga, follow the instructions of Gauranga. Anybody who does this is my life and soul. So Prabhupada says that they say Nityananda said this. Maybe he did. Yeah. But this is his mood, right? He's a servant. And so therefore Krishnadas Kaviraj says that all the rest of the avatars, they come from him. So they all have the same mood, right? Even though they're so great, they create universes, they have all these different qualities, but their idea is that they want to serve Krishna, right? Prabodhananda Saraswati is describing that even in Vaikuntha, Lakshmi and Narayan, they're looking at Goloka, you know, with wonder, respect, right? They want to serve Radha and Krishna, like that also. So this is a humor throughout the whole place, you know? And it says that every avatar has the right to enjoy the opulences of a devotee, right? Madhvacharya's commentary to the Mayavadis is, which would you rather do? Become sugar or taste it? Yeah. So the Mayavadis say, we're going to become Krishna. So I'd rather taste Krishna. Like that. Now how do you taste Krishna? Yeah, by service. Yeah, different kinds of service to Krishna. Krishna eats things, Krishna sees things, Krishna smells things. Krishna thinks about different things. Krishna has different relationships with different people. They go together in different ways. So Krishna is the, what? Bhoktaram. Yeah. We get shanti. But more than shanti, you start to actually enjoy things, you know, by doing this. It's a kind of, here we're trying to enjoy by consuming, and it's not working so good. But in the spiritual world, we're enjoying by giving. But we can give in different ways, different varieties, no? Different combinations. So that's the rasa in the spiritual world, a combination of different service. And it's far better than combination of taking. Well, I think I'll have a little strawberry ice cream and then followed by some coffee, and I'll go to the movies, and then I'll, you know, yeah, taking in different rasas. But in Krishna consciousness, the idea is giving, you know, service in different rasas like that. So all the avatars have this right, you know, to enjoy devotional service. Krishna madhurya eka abhuta swabhava apane asparite Krishna kari bhakti bhava. Conjugal love of Krishna is so nice that Krishna himself comes to taste it, right? So that's what we're gradually trying to understand, the reason for Lord Chaitanya's incarnations. It's very, very secret. Here he is on the altar. They don't say anything. It's very confidential. You know, so Raghunath, he was trying to become a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, right? Yeah? What was he doing? How was Raghunath trying to become a devotee? What did he do? He's running away from home. Where'd he go?
To join
Yeah, he was joining the Hare Krishna temple, right? But he kept dragging him back like that. So finally he went to the Panihati festival, and his father sent along, you know, 2 treasurers, 14 servants, you know, what else, 5 bodyguards to make sure he came back. Yeah, you can go to the temple, but take along your bodyguard and the other people with you like that, you know. And so he went there, he saw Nityananda, and he, you know, had all his pastimes. And he's satisfied, and the next day he paid his obeisances to him, and he said, I'm like a dwarf who's trying to catch the moon. A dwarf who's trying to catch the moon, trying to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. But I think by your mercy it might be possible. And he bowed down and put his head at Nityananda's feet. And Nityananda told everybody, he said, see this fool, Raghunath. He has a father and mother, he's unbelievably rich, right? And he has a wife like an angel in heaven, right? Yeah. But he said, well, that doesn't want it. He doesn't like it. Instead, this idiot's chasing after this madman, Lord Chaitanya. Just see this fool. And he put his foot on his head like that. Like to get that sometime. Lord Nityananda, put his foot on your head. This is a 147th initiation. Lord Nityananda puts his foot on your head. After that, I guess there's almost nothing you can't do. You can jump off of a bridge under the freeway and stop cars for Sankirtan. Buddy, boy, it's I. All you guys, buy books. Okay, sir. Can we do what you did? If we buy the books? Yeah. Yeah. So that was it. He was calling him a thief. You're a thief. Why? Because he's trying to get Lord Chaitanya, who's the property of Lord Nityananda. So, you know, before Lord Chaitanya's appearance, it was the appearance of Lord Nityananda. And before the appearance of Nityananda, yeah, Advaita. You know, what does Advaita mean?
One, non-dual.
Non-dual. Yeah, careful here. Yeah, yeah. So, is this world different than God?
Yeah.
It is. Okay, here we go. What's your name?
Rajagopal.
Okay, Rajagopal. Yeah. And after some time, he's going to ask me, "Why are you hitting me?" Right?
Yeah, why are you?
Okay, I'm not hitting you. I'm not hitting you. The stick is hitting you. Right? But we're non-different. Yeah, yeah. So this world is not different than Krishna. You know? It's just like, again, you know, everybody told me I should see that. What was that movie? What was the thing called? The Matrix. The Matrix. After like 7 years, I finally saw it like that. But a good scene anyway. They pull the plug and everything disappears. It's like the same way, you know? It's like your VCR or your DVD player. You're watching the thing and the baby comes along and pulls the plug and the whole thing, you know, just ceases to exist. So same way, that this is Mahavishnu's dream, right? There's no such thing as inertia. Rasaraj was saying that Newton's first law of mechanics is demoniac. A body in motion will continue with the same momentum unless something else interferes with it. No, there's somebody pushing it, right? Nityananda, Advaita, Mahavishnu, is maintaining this universe. He's making this a king, he's making this a cushion, he's making this a table, he's making this a book, he's making this a body. Everything is, right, being maintained by him at every moment as a dream. It's like ping pong, right? You're playing ping pong. You can't just walk away for a minute, you know, or look at your watch. It's every single second. It has to be a second, right? I don't know, millisecond or something. It has to be like attention. So that's Advaita. So we're never separated from Krishna, right? We're always getting lessons, right? Every single thing that happens to you is for, right, your advancement in Krishna consciousness. Everything, you know? But some of us won't take our lessons directly, you know, from Guru. So we get them indirectly from material nature, which is not different, you know, than Krishna. So you can call him Advaita, you know, going down and going up. Yeah. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita chapter 6 is describing that, how's it go? Prabhupada many times talks about material cause, efficient cause, and, you notice this? Ultimate cause, right? You know, those 3 things. And I couldn't quite understand what he was talking about exactly. Then I was satisfying my desires for this and that in the library. I was just kind of looking at Aristotle's philosophy, some summary. And so Aristotle uses these categories, you know. And the example is that What is the cause of this cane or pot? It's a pot again. It's a clay pot. What makes that a pot? What is the cause?
Huh? Clay and the pot maker.
Okay, so the clay first. That's the material cause, right? And then the wheel is the efficient cause, right? And the potter is the ultimate cause, you know? So these categories are there in the Greek philosophy, and Prabhupada's using them, and it's, say, our philosophy too. So how's it go now? Krishna is the ultimate cause, Mahavishnu is the efficient cause, and the material cause is Advaita Acharya. You die. So he has a very specific relationship with Mahavishnu, and Mahavishnu, Avatar Tattva. And I couldn't quite understand that. I'm still grappling with that. But because we think that the material elements are, you know, independent, self-sufficient. But also in the prayers by Lord Shiva, I think it is with the Prachetas, he's teaching them prayers. It makes the same point that Shankarshan. Shankarshan is the potency of things holding together. Just like things hang together. And otherwise nothing would stay together. There'd be no groups of things. When the universe was created, there was no like directions, you know? And the Vastu Purusha, every place, right? It has a Purusha, a personality. Like this place has a, I might say square here, okay. The Vastu Purusha, his feet are over here, his stomach is here, his head's over here, like that, right? Yeah. And therefore certain functions go on in a certain way like that. And so every place you identify psychologically or legally, that becomes a place. And there's a Vastu Purusha who occupies it and makes it a place. So in the beginning, he was just flailing around, his arms were moving, his body was moving, there was no, you know, this way, no that way, the elements didn't know what to do. So all the demigods jumped on top of him like that. And somebody sat on his face, somebody sat on his legs, and that made him settle down like that. You know? So since that time, then there are places, right? You know? So you start going backwards. The very essence of reality, the very essence of reality is because there's something behind it. You know? We don't think about it, but groups, right? Groups exist because Shankarshan makes things cohesive, makes groups like that. So all this, what do you call it, efficient? Material. Material cause for everything is Advaita. Yeah. He's what makes this real. And also Prabhupada's talking in one purport. He's kind of quoting from different scriptures. He's also, in Vaikuntha there is Sadashiva. Sada? Yeah. In Vaikuntha, there is Sadashiva. He's one of the Puranas. And his wife, you know, Lakshmi. So when the mirror of the material world exists, then he enters into it, positions himself so he can be seen in the mirror by the conditioned souls. So that reflection is Sadashiva. Yeah. Shiva is a reflection of Sadashiva. And Durga is a reflection of Lakshmi like that. So therefore, in the spiritual world, there's no Shiva and Durga. Right? Because there never was a Shiva and Durga. Right? There was a reflection like that. What we call Shiva and Durga is a reflection. In the same way, in the spiritual world, there's no Paramatma. There's no Shirdakshaya Vishnu. There's no Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Right? Again, these are just kind of like reflections in the material world when it exists. When it ceases to exist, they all go back into the body of Mahavishnu. It's just like some police officer, Officer Jones, right? When he goes home, you know, he enters into his house, and you go look for Officer Jones, and there's nobody there. Right? There's Daddy, there's Honey, my mother's calling him, you know, I don't know, Jimmy, you know. So Officer Jones, you know, never did exist, right? You know. See what I mean? Yeah. Clear? We're working on it. Yeah. So this is the explanation to understand the position of Advaita Acharya. You know. So Advaita Acharya especially has God. You know, he's not cruel. Advaita Acharya especially has this responsibility of taking care of us, you know, even when Guru is not present, right? And okay, if Guru is not present, then Advaita Acharya and his people in his line have to take care of us, you know, like Gwaris at all times. So the material world, Nabadweep, was a miserable condition. Everybody, who was there? Who was predominating Nabadweep before Lord Chaitanya? Yeah. And who were these rascals?
They were logicians.
Yeah.
Nayakas.
And also the Shaktas too, right?
Yeah.
The Shaktas who are tantrics, and then the logicians. And it was a place of what do you call it? Yeah. Come closer, I guess. Yeah. Sab log aur paas hai. Don't worry, we are vegetarians. We're close. Yeah. So, Navadvip was a big place at that time. It was one of the big centers of education and logic and everything in all of India, like that. And the Sabha pundits for Emperor Prataparudra, right? They came out of Navadvip. Was it called Sarbo Bhattacharya? Like that. They came from Navadvip and they went to become the head of the university for the king of Orissa and things like that. So it wasn't a normal place, Navadvip at that time. There was no shortage of logicians, software engineers, right? Yeah, but these guys were, one devotee I know, Rasaraj, right? He would do all the code in his mind first. He would test it in his mind, and he would write it down like that afterwards, yeah. But these are people like that, even more so. You probably come nowadays and just look at all these things, this is for idiots, it's for children. Do like this, do that, do this, do that. Wow. Yeah. So all these complicated books about logic and logical connections and rules and so on. And so it was all there. Spices, medicine, music, architecture, vastu, all these things. There was no place in the world now is as opulent as Bengal was at that time. In every level, intellectual level. Yeah. But nobody was a devotee, right? Who were, is a good question now, who were Socrates' greatest enemies?
Sophists.
Huh?
Sophists?
The comical philosophers.
Aristophanes, right.
Okay, all right, there you go. You got the community here. Yeah, so... They said the reason for learning philosophy and stuff like this is to be able to defeat your enemies in logic, right? Better Jewish lawyer than the guy. Oh, my God. It's Ephraim. Ephraim Margolin? He's up in San Francisco. He gets $400 an hour. Probably retired by now.
Probably $650 an hour by now.
Okay, maybe probably retired. Yeah. I'll tell you this story. Bhaktadas, our Toa president, we were going to Fisherman's Wharf and we were collecting for Sankirtan. At Fisherman's Wharf, and it's a big area, making a lot of money like that. So the merchants were becoming very envious of this. We didn't have to pay taxes or anything. So they were pushing the police and the city to get the girls off the street, the devotees were collecting there. So they arrested the girls, I think three girls, as a test case. And, we can lose the whole thing. So Bhaktadas was into doing things big, So he went and hired, he asked people, who's the best lawyer in San Francisco? He said, well, Ephraim Margolin, he's a pretty good guy. His office was right on Union Square, like that. So he went in there, and he listened a little bit. He said, yeah, okay, I'll help you. That sounds good, like that. So he wasn't doing almost anything. And finally came the day for the trial, and Bhaktadas was very worried, like that. So he said he went in there, and the girls were there, and the district attorney was there with, all his files set up and his assistants and everything else, putting them in order. And then Mr. Margolin walked in, and everybody's bowing to him, So then the judge came in and said, good morning, Mr. Margolin. He said, good morning, Judge, so-and-so, like that. So very like that. And Bhaktadas is wondering. He said, I'm so good. Come on, But you haven't done any interviews or anything, So he waited, and the district attorney started making his complaints about these girls collecting money and this and that. They were breaking this certain law, detailed law. And then finally, it's about 12:15 or something, and he raises his hand right from Margolin and says, Your Honor, I move the case be dismissed. Well, why is that? Well, as far as I know, in this case, there has to be a so-and-so filed by, a certain number of days after. And as far as I know, the district attorney hasn't filed it. And so for the time expired at 12 o'clock today, and according to my watch, it's 12:15, So the district attorney is panicking, looking through all of his papers, looking at his assistant. The judge starts smiling and looking at him. He says, well, he says, not here. He says, case dismissed. So he charged him for, I think it was 15 minutes work. It was $100 for 15 minutes work. And went out. So this was the whole purpose of right? Nyaya and everything else was to figure out all these subtle, tricky laws and stuff and defeat your opponents. But nobody was a bhakta, nobody was a devotee, maybe enjoying very subtle psychological pleasures like that, the almost inconceivable pleasures of the mind, eating the bananas of the mind. Right? And the Shaktas were worshipping Durga. Kolavecha Sridhar? Yeah, Sridhar, he was a great, nice devotee, a grihastha couple. I guess he was vanaprastha, I don't know. He had a little banana grove, he'd grow the banana trees, and he'd take the vecha, the skins, he'd make little cups out of them, and sell them for a little bit like that. And then, and it was just half the money he made, which was almost nothing, he'd do Ganga Puja with it, like that. And so his wife wasn't complaining, she was just as good a devotee as he was. So she was also so pleased to have a nice Vaishnava husband. Then at nighttime, all they would do was just, you know, read the Bhagavatam together, and they would be like in an ecstasy, you know, crying, Anubhava, Sabika Bhava, experiencing all these wonderful, you know, things in the Bhagavatam, crying. And the neighbors who were all Shaktas, you know, worshipping Durga for material opulence, they would tell their children, just listen, what do you hear? Those Vaishnavas are crying, huh? Because they haven't got enough money to get food. So don't you worship Vishnu, or you'd be like that too, you know? Yeah, yeah. So nobody, but then Nimai would come. He was a big, tall, powerful Brahmin boy. He would say, hey, Kolavecha, I want to buy some of your cups. Give me like 50, you know, for half this price. And he said, what do you mean? I'm making no profit. I'm making so little profit. No, I know, you're a big miser. You're making all this profit and you have it, you know, stored, you know, hiding it in secret, keeping all this for yourself, not sharing it. Give me this at half price, you know. So he was afraid of Nimai and he gave him to him like that. He'll attack me. But he couldn't understand. And then Nimai said, someday I'm gonna take that treasure. I'm going to steal it all, like that. So what he meant was he had Krishna prema, right? And he wasn't giving it to anybody. Said, you're a miser. You're keeping a big secret like that. But someday I'm going to come and, you know, take it all. Take all your Krishna prema, you know. So this is the whole atmosphere before Lord Chaitanya came, right? And even Lord Nityananda, how old was he? He was how many years older than Lord Chaitanya? You know? About 11 or something? Yeah, about 10 years older. Yeah. So when Nimai took sannyas at 24, he was like about maybe 35 or something like that. So even he was not distributing love of God. He was going all over India, doing so many things like that, but he was not distributing Krishna prema until Lord Chaitanya authorized him to do it. You know? So why did Lord Chaitanya come? He asked him to come? he was crying, right? Yeah. What was he doing? What was his external activity? Externally?
Certainly, was he worshipping Tulsi and Gunga water?
Yeah, the sandalwood paste. And worshipping Shalagram Shila.
Oh, Shalagram,
with Tulsi and sandalwood and Ganges water. And it says that his cries cracked, you know, cracked the covering of the universe and reached Krishna. One time Nimai was joking and people couldn't understand. He said, this rascal, he said, I was sleeping on the Nantasesha in the spiritual world. This guy woke me up. Now he's brought me here and he won't give me enough lunch. Yeah. So many pastimes, no? With a weight of like that. But that's the basic principle, is that his position is that he's happy when he sees people are accepting Nityananda in the proper mood like that. And when Vaita can take us to Guru, he's happy. And Nityananda is happy when he can take us to Krishna. Like that. Yeah? And so today is his anniversary of his appearance day. So it's a very nice day for, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, right? Yeah, get his mercy like that, you know? And like I say, every moment, everything that's happening to us, right, is an arrangement of Mahavishnu, of Krishna. You know? So we shouldn't, you know, a devotee, that, you know, we have to understand it properly, right? You know, again, there's a story that one man, it was a flood, right? And the water is getting higher, and a big truck goes by on the road and says, come on, wade across the water. He's already up to his knees. We'll get in the truck. We can drive you out of here. He says, no, I'm waiting for God's mercy. Like that. So the water gets higher. He's up on his second story, and his boat comes by, and they say, hey, get in the boat. We can save you. He says, no, I'm waiting for God's mercy. Like that. So finally, he's on his roof, you know, and the helicopter comes with a rope, you know, burp the rope, you know, take the rope. You know. He says, no, I'm waiting for the mercy of God. You know, so the gas is getting short, so they go away. So finally then the clouds part, and a big light comes down on his head, and a big voice says, "What are you waiting for? I've already sent a truck, a boat, and a helicopter." So every moment, you know, you think, oh, this is such a bad thing. Oh, this happened to me, that happened to me. But if we have this consciousness of looking for, right, you know, looking for an arrangement of Krishna, you know, wanting it, and if our cries are cracking the covering of the universe, you know, then we'll see it every moment. You know, we're getting lessons, right? We're never separated from Krishna. He's Advaita. You know? And then what's the first result of that when you're really sincere? Then you meet a guru. I remember this experience. I was so suffering so much in the university. I graduated. I didn't know what to do. And I was just sitting down one time. I sat down by the side of the road and the university started just praying to God over and over again. And I got a book about maybe just 2 days later. A book came like that. I think it was related. And Krishna said, "Okay, this guy is ready to take this seriously. We'll send him a book. You know, send him guru, like that." You know. So I'm waita. And then we get the mercy of a waita. Then we can get the mercy of guru. You know, like that. And the mercy of guru, Krishna. Lord Chaitanya. Like that. So, any comments? Not enough. You know, anybody else? You know, I wasn't come here and listen. I was enjoy life. You know. Yeah. Abraham Lincoln says, "If you remain silent, people will think you're a fool. But if you talk, remove all doubt." That means remain silent. Yeah. Some things. You didn't plan anything?
Advaitacharya was studied Bhagavad Gita regularly.
Ah. I didn't know that. What I read today is his glories are unlimited. Nobody can describe them all. You know.
Studied Bhagavad Gita, go through each verse, and would give commentary on the verse. He would sit in his village and he would speak on Bhagavad Gita.
Wow.
And he wouldn't speak on it completely until he had a full realization of each verse, and then he would give his commentary. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, later on, when Advaitacharya met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the Mahaprakash, he said, "I am the one who would bring those commentaries of the Bhagavad Gita into your heart and mind. When you were, you know, groping for the meaning of each verse, I'm the one who put them there."
Wow.
And of course, then the Advaitacharya always wanted to be the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to be the servant of Advaitacharya. There was competition going on.
Yeah.
So in order to invoke the anger of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaitacharya, sitting in his village, began to preach on Bhagavad Gita, but he began to speak on Advaitin point of view from Bhagavad Gita.
Mayavadi philosophy
from the Gita. And the devotees came and told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he was speaking like that.
Yeah.
So when he came there and heard Advaitacharya, he asked him, you know, what he was preaching, and over and over again he would give the Mayavadi point of view, and then Mahaprabhu began beating him.
Yeah.
And so much so that Advaitacharya's wife was, you know, begging, "No, stop, he's an old man.
He's an old Brahmin.
But at that time it's described how Advaitacharya was very happy as he had proved the superior position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
He started laughing and telling everybody, see, he's my master, see? He can beat me. And Nimai was totally frustrated because he realized he'd been tricked. Yeah. Went home, oh damn, this guy tricked, old man tricked me again. Yeah. That's what pastime. And also so many pastimes with the lunchtime pastimes. Right? That's one time.
Nityananda would go and keep asking for more and more.
Yeah, Nityananda and Nimai. They were invited for lunch one time. I think it was Advaitacharya. Lord Chaitanya came. I guess that was after he took sannyas.
Yeah, and he was wandering for some days, and then they were going to take him to Vrindavan.
Yeah.
He was in ecstasy and to go to Vrindavan.
After he took sannyas,
And they told some coward boys nearby that if he asks which is the trail to Vrindavan, you tell him this way. It was actually the the path back to towards Advaitacharya's house.
Yeah.
So when they came back towards Advaitacharya's house, the Ganga was there.
Yeah.
And Mahaprabhu thought it was the Jamuna that
yeah.
had come to Vrindavan. And so he jumped in.
Yeah.
And just then, as he was jumping in, the devotees were trying to pull him out again. And Advaitacharya arrived there on a boat.
Yeah.
And he said, "What are you doing here in Vrindavan?"
And what did he say?
He said, "Well, wherever you go, that's Vrindavan."
Yeah, that's really a super famous verse. He says, "Wherever you, my Lord, that's Vrindavan." Yeah. And he had fresh clothes.
He had fresh yeah. undergarments for him. And then yeah. he said, "Come to my house and take prasad." So that's when they went to his house for that famous yeah. prasad pastime.
And then Mother Sachi, I think she came then too and cooked. That was the last time she had get a chance to cook for Nimai. So she asked to be able to cook everything all the time. She said, "You'll be able to see him." That's the last time I get a chance to see him. Very famous. Yeah. Wow.
Always. That's when they were arguing with Nityananda and Advaitacharya.
Yeah.
Advaitacharya was serving the prasad to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda.
Yeah.
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, "I can't possibly eat all this. I just want a little bit of liquid vegetable. I'm a sannyasi. I'm
yeah.
not supposed to eat all this."
Yeah.
And Advaitacharya said that, "Don't try to fool me.
Yeah.
I know that you in Jagannath Puri, you eat 52 offerings a day.
I know who you are and why you're here. So eat."
Meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu was sitting there and he said, "I've been fasting for many days and today I'd hope to break my fast.
Yeah.
And today I see again, you've not even given me a morsel enough to feed my belly,
yeah.
half my belly."
Yeah.
And he kept complaining, and Advaitacharya said, "You're a reject Paramahamsa.
Reject Paramahamsa.
You've taken the sannyasa order just to fill your belly."
Die.
And then Nityananda Prabhu said that to make up for your offense today, you'll have to invite 100 sannyasis to come eat at your house.
Yeah.
And Advaitacharya said, "I'll never invite another sannyasi to my house."
At one point, he threw prasad at.
That was the same one.
At Advaita.
That's when he threw it, and some of the morsels of the prasad that Nityananda Prabhu was eating had stuck to the body of Advaitacharya,
yeah.
and he began dancing.
In ecstasy. Yeah.
And Nityananda Prabhu said, "Oh, now don't offend prasad." They were going on like that.
Another time, what was it? Somebody, Advaitacharya and Sarabhauma were engaging in a water fight. In the water in Narendra Sarovar in Jagannath Puri. Nityananda was there too. And then Lord Chaitanya was telling him, "You both, what are you doing here? You're acting like children. You're both very grave, sober, respectable people like that." And they were, Advaitacharya and Sarabhauma were water fighting. And somebody, Kashi Mishra, someone told me, he said, even great mountains like them become inundated by your mercy.
Previously, they were only eating the dry rice.
Yeah.
Rice cakes of logic.
Yeah.
And now they're taking this feast of Krishna consciousness.
And then Lord Chaitanya wanted to enjoy pastime, so Advaita manifested his Shakti and as Shesha. And Lord Chaitanya was resting on his body, and Advaita was floating around the lake like that, on his body like that. Yeah. So many pastimes. And I guess every year Advaita would come, every year with the devotees. For Rath Yatra, for the season like that, Advaita would come, have the devotees. Yeah. And I guess it's Srinivas, he wanted to take initiation from them, find Lord Chaitanya. So he was headed to Jagannath Puri because people told him Lord Chaitanya has left this world. But, how's it go, Advaita? I guess it was Advaita and Nityananda are still there, So he went there, and just before he arrived, one day before, he was resting in some place along by the road, and some people came with very, very dark looks on their face, and he said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Oh, haven't you heard? Advaitacharya and Nityananda have left this world." So he was disturbed. He said, "But Gadadhara Pandit, Lord's internal potency is still there. He can teach you." So he went there, and Gadadhara was so disturbed, and he said, "Yes, I can teach you Srimad Bhagavatam, but mine is just destroyed from my tears." So he had to go back to Nabadweep, another copy. So all the way back, had a copy, came back again. The same thing happened. Gadadhar left his body. And he was going to die and kill himself. But Advaitacharya and Nityananda came in a dream and said, "No, you don't do that. You should go to Vrindavan." So he headed off from Vrindavan, all a long journey. And he finally got there, and he was thinking, now I can hear from Rupa and Sanatana. And all the bells were ringing. He thought, wow, I arrived on an auspicious day. It was the evening time. And he asked somebody, why are the bells ringing? He said, oh, haven't you heard? Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami have left their bodies. So he had trouble finding guru. But when he came back to external consciousness, he was in the arms of Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami then recognized him, heard about him, and took him. So that was Srinivas. So these songs by Narottam, Srinivas, they're all, Narottam, Srinivas, and Dukhi Krishna were all contemporaries. So these songs are like, direct windows. Once you begin to appreciate them, I say it many times, if you're chanting some prayers like by Queen Kunti, whatever they are, that person who wrote them, the person who composed them, they bless you. And you start to get that comprehensions. I was just sitting in the Radha Govinda temple one time in Vrindavan, just playing my flute, the one side place there. And I started to get all these realizations about why somebody carved this, and what must this have been like on Janmashtami, right? The Radha Govinda temple like that. All these little architraves must have had lamps in them. There must have been different bands up along different places like that, playing, sarod, esaraj, competing. And then actually last year, one professor came with us from the University of Calcutta, my friend Dr. Bandhapajaya. And it's interesting, Prabhupada Saraswati says, I know many great gurus, I know many wonderful books, but as far as I'm concerned, there's no teacher like Vrindavan Dham, like that. So Dr. Bandhapajaya was there, and he was like risking his life to get down on this slimy ghat to touch the Jamuna. And he was quoting something that says, if you touch the water of the Jamuna one time, you never have to chant another mantra ever again. So it was like, he was just waking up to all these devotional things like that. Then we were walking along, he was showing us the kinds of bricks, different kinds of bricks from different times like that, how old it was. Very interesting. So finally he got to the Radha Govinda temple, and he found these inscriptions, from when it was built. He was reading them like that. And apparently the temple at that time was, like now there's a road from Delhi, there's a main road, and all these trucks are going with transporting, grains and tires and stuff. So back when Lord Chaitanya was there, when the Goswamis were building these things, there were no roads like that. Most of the stuff was being transported by barges, big boats in the Jamuna. And the Radha Govinda temple was right by the Jamuna, and had many, many gardens and other things like that. And so every day there was an arrangement, he's reading it, for the king of Jayapur, whatever it was, for something like, 400 kilos or 4,000. It was a big number, 4,000 kilos of rice every day was being cooked and distributed with sabji like that. So everybody would arrange their boat travel in the Jamuna just to arrive at Radha Govinda temple about lunchtime. So every day there was just this gigantic prasadam distribution and all this big kirtan program for Radha Govinda, and fresh, festoons, cloth, decorations like that, and outbuildings, And now it's just what? It's just a shadow, of that kind of thing. So these songs and stuff, you can, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can appreciate, begin to appreciate actually who these people are, like that, who Mahaprabhu actually is. Right? He's on the altar there. Smiling, trying to hide. Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
What's the schedule? Oh, King of the Bears.
A few more questions for you.
Oh, yeah.
On a daily basis, we make advancement in spiritual life.
How?
Yeah, we'll practice some practical tips. So everyone's so busy, so many distractions in Kali Yuga, most people, householders, have responsibilities, so how can we make advancement in spiritual life?
Okay, 8 words. This is my author. It was 20, how many years? You're 1 year ahead of me, right? How many years have we been devoting? Yeah. He took second initiation, I took first initiation. Same letter from Prabhupada. Right? Yeah. 74, so 32 years. It all comes down to 8 words. Get up early and get your rounds done. Is that it? Is that a good summary of the thing? Yeah.
Yeah. Can you say more about that? Just about the potency of the
okay.
Krishna mantra.
Don't eat too much late at night. Yeah, yeah. take a container to the temple with you and take prasadam for tomorrow back. I've seen that more and more people, these home programs. More and more people are coming with their containers, you know, for these very nice feasts in the evening. But people are kind of like, you know, yeah, it's becoming ISKCON comprehension, is that, you know, the Sunday feast or whatever, you know, is a lot better the next day for breakfast, you know, like that. But I mean, a different life, you know, but basically, yeah, just somehow or other so you can get up early, you know. And, you know, maybe you can't get all your rounds done, you know, but you can get, you know, good standard done, like that. But that's one thing again and again. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, computer language. You have your operating system, right? It's below the application package, and it's just, you know, so lower and lower. There was a man. One man. He was going home with his new wife, and the horse balked, wouldn't go any farther. So he stopped. You know, he was talking to the horse, and finally, after screaming, like, the horse started moving again. So he said, "That's once." So he went a little farther with his new wife in the cart, and the horse stopped again, wouldn't go, and he went down, and he was talking to the horse and screaming and yelling, and finally the horse starts going again, so he tells the horse, "That's twice." So it happens again, the horse stops and won't go down, and he tells the horse, "That's three times." And he pulls a gun out and just shoots the horse in the head, and it drops dead. And his new wife starts screaming, "What are you doing as a valuable horse?" And he says, "That's once." So that's once with a cell phone. That's the first cell phone. But again,
my goodness. Huh?
You have to buy a new Shapanishad.
Oh, wow. Other people down there, like Gorasundar, their Padapama group, they have a $5 fine if you're late for the first 15 minutes. After that, it's a $10 fine. And everybody runs to get there on time. Like, you know, $5. Yeah. So we're making advancement. That's the main thing. I mean, getting up early, and it's my intelligence. My mind says, "Oh, you know, you got to like do a lot of work today. You're sick. Better take a little more rest." You know, Vedavyas, you're arguing about this, and then you say, "Well, no. Sometimes you got to sleep throughout Mangal Arati. You got a lot to do. I'm a Sankirtan leader." And after about a month, he wrote me. He said, "You know, I would just keep thinking about what you're saying," and I said, "I realized there's not one time when I made the decision to get up early and go to Mangal Arati and do everything that I ever regretted it later, you know, thinking, oh, I should have done something else, you know, like that." You know? So, yeah, I mean, sometimes, yeah.
Is somebody's oldest geometer red color? It's probably should move it because they
have
geometry.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. Don't be sorry. It's better than destroying the car or towing it. Yeah. So, you know, you just... So many experiences for a long time intensely. You just do austerities for a long time intensely, and you get some results. You learn something. From karma comes jnana. You're doing this, karma, getting up early, and get up every day early for like about 1 year. Then after that, you become just thoroughly convinced. Your intelligence convinced about, you know, what how to do it, whether it's right or wrong, like that. So again, it's just like, guys, get up early, just convince yourself, and then, you know, you start seeing certain things. You know, some people have to eat a little bit at night. Some people don't eat. Everybody's got a different body like that. You know, a different kind of arrangement, yeah, in your life. But again, that, to me, that's like the most simple, essential thing is just get up early and get your rounds done. Because you're chanting, your mind's going to say, "Well, what are you doing? What are you chanting? What is this?" You know, you say, "Well, then you've got to come up with some logical reason to defeat your mind why you're chanting," you know, and stuff like that. Explain, you know. So you just automatically develop knowledge about why it works. You're reading things, you're noticing things, and what should I do when I'm chanting? You know, everything's closed at 2 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning. You can't, you know, it's, you know, the banks are closed. It's a natural time just to be introspective like that. You know, and that's a good time for forming your attitude. After breakfast is a good time for making plans, right? And the evening time is a good time just for, you know, being absorbed in your senses, like that. Yeah. So until 10 o'clock in the morning, it's a good time for buddhi, purify your intelligence, perspective. Once you've got a good perspective, you know, you're thinking about enjoying, "Oh, I'm going to enjoy this, and you catch it, no. You know. So finally, by the time, you know, breakfast comes at 10 o'clock in the morning, you take your breakfast now, you're ready, get your perspective, you can make your plans, you know, on that perspective. Like that. So. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. He knows all these things. Why was Socrates, there you go, why was Socrates the wisest man in Athens?
The oracle told him he was wise, yeah. But he felt that he didn't know anything.
Yeah.
So he went and asked everybody else.
Yeah.
What about wisdom? But he could see the contradictions in everything in all their answers.
Yeah.
But he said, all I know is I know nothing.
Yeah, so he went around, he came back and told the guy who came to the oracle, he said, actually, I guess I am the wisest man in Athens, because I'm a fool, and I know it. But the rest of these people are fools, and they don't even know it. So that was why. What is chapter 13 in Bhagavad Gita now? Okay. What's the first principle of acquiring knowledge?
Humility.
Humility, yeah. Mm. Like that. Yeah. Is that an aspect of science?
Spiritual science.
Yeah, not material science.
Well, Prabhupada, when he was Obi-Wan-Kapoor, asked Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was a chemist, he was asking him about, he said, can you give me a prema bhakti?
Yeah.
And Prabhupada said to him, he said, I can't give you that, but I can give you the formula. What's that? And he said, Trinadapi Suni Chena.
Wow. Yeah. It was how to win friends and influence people. That's the same thing. You know, just look for the good qualities in people. Don't flatter people, but actually look to see. You know, so amanina amanadena. Amanidena. Always looking for the other people's qualities. So it's universal. We have the North American Institute for Oriental and Classical Studies, a 501c3 nonprofit educational corporation registered in the state of Tennessee. Like that. And it's a nice platform for preaching, you know, Oriental and Classical Studies. You know, we're having good results in different places in South America. It's going on. And now we actually have two universities in North America, University of Houston, University of Boise. We have very good relationships with deans and professors and stuff like that. And what's been really successful so far has been Gandharva Veda. You know? So we go in with with drama department, something like that, and talk about experiences from Manipur, and things like that, and it goes right into Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Like that. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu becomes a very natural extension of Gandharva Shastra. And that's actually what Lord Chaitanya is preaching, is Gandharva Veda. Self-realization by chanting, dancing, and singing. So Gandharva Veda is a very natural thing. And then from Nectar of Devotion, there's nice commentaries by Dhanadhar and Maharaj and David Haberman. Of course, he has his introduction, which is really nice academic perspective. When I teach the course in Radhadesh, we have one day on that, a three-hour class and 3 hours of reading of Haberman's introduction, because he gives the whole academic perspective, and it's like some of the things he says are very inflammatory, so it's like you can get really fired up to make commentaries about it. So, and I mean, full professors, I mean, professors of world drama and everything else, I can see them they're humble, this guy really knows his tradition, much better than I do, like that. And so that way you can start, we're starting to have some contact with universities. When I was in Houston this time, before here I was in Boise 2 weeks, and we were in Houston for 2 weeks, and Mother Guru Bhakti, his doctor, they have a relationship with the university there. It's a big university, University of Houston, now maybe 25,000, 30 students like that. And so we already met, we gave one lecture on Sankhya to the psychology club, and one professor was there. And he's a Jungian psychologist. And apparently, out of all these people in dialectical materialism, dialectical spiritualism, Prabhupada likes Socrates and Jung as being pretty good. And Jung was nice. You read some of his books, very nice ideas. So anyway, he's a psychologist. And they have Jungian societies all over the place. It's a very active school of psychology and therapy and things like that. And so this time when we came, he was really pushing us to make a presentation at the Union Society in the fall like that. But it takes work. You've got to read their material, understand their perspectives and ideas, and then, build the bridge like that. So how many bridges to build, where to build them, what's the best place. Then, for the first time we met Dean Bill Atlaxon. And he's the the dean of the College of Letters and Sciences and Humanities for the whole school, like that, you know. And I was wondering, well, what kind of guy he is, you know. So we met him in the coffee shop, and he came in. And he was very friendly, very open. And it turns out he was in Berkeley 2 years after I was. So I was actually, like, you know, senior to him. We were talking about all these things at Berkeley and how we grew up, like the first television set. So we really got along. And also he had the same comprehension about the modern world, you know, as I did, about different things. And they just started center? Something like a center or division for Indian studies. And they taught their first semester of Hindi, then they're going to make it a 2-year thing so you can get your language requirement in Hindi. And they very much also then wanted us to participate and, you know, bring people and even asking advice about how to develop it in terms of, you know, getting faculty and stuff like that. So we have, you know, very good relations, you know, okay, developing.
And all of them. Idaho, University of Idaho?
That was University of Houston.
Oh, University of Houston.
Yeah, so those two. And our base is actually now, we call it my home is San Francisco, my office is Tennessee, and I worship God in Peru. Bombay, Mayapur, and Vrindavan. So our office legally is in Tennessee, in Nagore Sundar. And there we're trying to establish some relationship with the university there. What's the university in Nashville? You know, it's the Harvard of the South.
Duke? No.
Close.
Vanderbilt.
Ah! yeah. And it's a very famous university. So, you know, and we couldn't have done it before without this, you know, connection with San Marcos University and the other universities. So now we can go in and talk to them, you know. And everywhere. Then Radhika, you know, Ravi Gupta, because he got married. Died, you know. And back to Godhead magazine, and Ravi Gupta was writing. He's from Boise. Now he's Professor Ravi Gupta. He graduated from Oxford at 23 years old, finished his PhD.
His mother introduced me to Krishna consciousness.
In Boise?
In Boise in 1991.
Wow. Yeah. So much preaching, you know. So he finally, he's got a position as a tenured track professor at Center College in Kentucky. And they're very pleased, and he's starting to present Krishna conscious programs there, and they're very pleased. We have a DVD we can show. We did an interview with him on the antiquity of the Vedas for the last festival in Peru. It's very nice, you know. You learn the, you know, it's a sankirtan. You learn the right way to talk to a certain kind of people. So this academic world, you can see he's saying things in just the right way, not to, like, irritate certain people, but at the same time, too, to present an idea like that, you know. Yeah. It takes time to stop the elephant, right, and change the direction, you know. So same way, the academic preaching, it takes time. Yeah, but the result is that goes down. It goes from the academicians to the administrators, from the administrators to the school teachers, to everybody else. You know? Museums, you can take a walk through history, and they'll show you how evolution took place. Little children come there to the museum, and they explain evolution. They show the bacteria and the slime and have all kinds of sounds and smells. And then they all convinced. You know? But somebody else, you know, the University of London Museum, over the thing they put this thing and said, the theory of evolution. And there was this enormous reaction from some scientific people. What do you mean theory? It's the law. So they said no. And many scientists and their faculty, it's not proven. So it went on for a year and a half until finally they were beaten into taking it down like that, threatened all these threats of every kind of reprisal they could have. So there's opportunity for preaching in this area. And I'm trying to do a little bit, in spite of my lust, anger, and greed, these kind of things. Yeah. So different programs. Yeah. And chant Hare Krishna. And get up early. So, I don't know. It's time for some more kirtan and prasad.
I have one more question, Maharaj.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's a trucker.
We hear about, you know, it's a sankirtan movement, you know, that the process is sankirtan, congregationally chanting.
Yeah.
You know, of course, we always do kirtan. We're always doing kirtan and bhajan. But it seems like japa is definitely stressed even more, how important it is to chant japa.
Yeah.
But japa isn't sankirtan.
No.
So can you...
Well, I mean, we're all doing it together. everybody knows that everybody else is doing it, and everybody else... You know, if you do it all by yourself, right, you really wonder, wouldn't do it, you know, but it's, well... Everybody says we have to do this. Everybody's doing their rounds. So in some ways, yes, we do it as a group glorification with our Sankirtan leader, Srila Prabhupada, you know. And yes, if you do it together in the temple room or something like that, it's a whole lot easier. You have more concentration, you look around, your mind is like, you know, coming up, you know. I mean, actually, if you didn't, don't plan to do it, you come to the temple and everybody else chanting japa, then you just japa, you know. Yeah, that's one aspect. The other aspect is, yes, it's a complete diet. You know, it's a Sankirtan movement, but part of that, it's like, again, like, you know, an orchestra, you play together, right? Somebody plays the tuba, somebody, you know, plays the gong, you know. That's like 25 minutes of rest notes, and finally he has to hit the it's like, you know, one time, then two times, and five times, he puts them down again, he's, you know, like that, you know? So everybody has their position in the orchestra, but everybody practices, right? They practice their part by themselves, you know? So it's kind of probably saying that there are many services given in the Sankirtan movement by the spiritual masters, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But out of all these, the most essential is chanting 16 good rounds every day. So that's the essence of what we're doing. You know, and after you have that essence there, then it's possible to talk to people and to engage in Sankirtan. So if you don't practice, you know, your part when it comes time to perform together, yeah, I can see that. When I'm not doing good rounds in the morning, when it comes time to do different things, I can see it's had that result. You know? Yeah. Krishna says, among fish I am. Sure. Among mountains I am. Okay. Among immovable objects I am. Okay. Among sacrifices.
Japa.
Yeah. So it's not a light thing. You know, if you think chanting your rounds is easy, something's wrong. You know? It's a big struggle, you know, like that. Control the mind, right? Yeah. So, you know, but the result's there. You know? And then Prabhupada says, Nectar of Devotion, if you can't chant 16 rounds, then take some vow. Okay. I'll chant 4 rounds a day until Lord Chaitanya's appearance day. Take some vow you know you can do and do it. You know? He said you'll get some experience, you know, like that. You'll make advancement. You know? Yeah. And actually, the section where that's mentioned is in terms of the offenses, you know, committed in service. So taking more service than you can do is an offense. Right? It comes up because of pride, usually. You know. So you fix some vow, okay, you know. Okay, I'm going to chant 1 round every Sunday. Yeah? Or I'm going to chant 1 round every year on Janmashtami. And your mind says, oh, you can't do it. You'll die if you chant 1 round. Shut up. Sit down. Chant. You bastard. You caused me all these problems my whole life. You got me involved with this woman. You got me involved with this employer. You got me involved with this. All these things. So, shut up. You rascal. Yeah. My enemy. My mind. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, how can we chat, teacher?
Do you want to chat?
I don't know. Any more questions?
There probably are some more questions.
Okay. Ahora prashna hai? Hay más preguntas?
How do we react? I have 2 questions.
Oh, okay. He's cheaters, like Madhuri. I have 2 questions.
First one is if somebody passes away.
Yeah.
How do we react? How do we say, like, something bad happens to somebody else? So what do we say? What do I say? One of my friends' cousin got shot today.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know what to say.
No, when Bhakti Srup Damodar Maharaj, my sannyas guru, I was in Vrindavan this year, and it was just before Prabhupada's Guru Puja in the morning, and, you know, what's his name? Yashoda Sattva starts howling outside. What's going on like that? You know, why? He's kind of a very older Spanish devotee, you know, and a very, you know, aristocratic. And then Manjari came up to me and says, Bhakti Srup Damodar left his body. And my first reaction was happiness, you know, because he has problems with his body. He had problems, I didn't know him, and then my sannyas guru, they had an intimate relationship. He had problems with his body, he had problems with his disciples. He had problems with the GBC. He had problems with preaching in his country. People throwing bombs at him, like that, you know. So my first reaction was, ah, wow. At last he gets some relief, like that. Because it's not like he's, you know, it's obvious where he's going, you know. And so then, Yeah, it's also very auspicious. It was Ram Vijaya, for he's a Kshatriya, he just sings. So it was like that. Then we got news that basically he was, but a few days before he left, he was always kind of visions, like he was kind of seeing celestial people and things like that. You know? And then his disciple was massaging him, in Calcutta. And he noticed his body was getting cold. Yeah, he left. There was no the whole thing was just very gentle. Just left without any kind of violence or anything else like that. Yeah, very gentle. You know. And so then when he came, he brought his body to Vrindavan, and I was looking, and it was strange because when they usually, if they couldn't put him in samadhi right away, because it was a codicy. So it was like 2 days almost. And they were afraid that his body wouldn't be supple enough to put into a lotus posture, but it was still supple after 2 days. Very suspicious, you know. So then finally I was feeling, and also I was feeling like he hasn't gone. You know, Prabhupada said, my spiritual master is not in this hole in the ground. He's with me. And I was feeling the same way, is that, you know, if people want to, you can associate with him still. You know? It's just like, you know, you're as an adult is playing with the children, and then comes somebody who says, oh, it's time for dinner. So they go and he goes into the adults, and still he's conscious of his nieces and nephews, what's happening, and something's coming up, they're saying something. He'll talk with them like that. So these people are going someplace else, but it doesn't mean, you know, if the culture is there, it doesn't mean you're gone, right? But they're just in a different level of consciousness like that. You know? So it's my reaction. But then after the samadhi, we came back to Vrindavan, and people were talking, and Gopal Krishna Maharaj, a few people, and I was supposed to talk about Maharaj. And I started to talk. I couldn't say anything. Tried again, couldn't say anything. Tried again, just couldn't say anything. You know? So then I was just had to sit there. And, you know, then I had this reaction of just intense, you know, separation and remorse. You know, because I started just to remember like different activities like that and stuff. And it's not going to happen anymore. You know, like that. So it's a very personal, very individual thing. You know, depending. Some people, thank God, the rascal's dead. you know, probably says some people. It's just they're demons. You know, yeah, it's good. Or some, you know, everybody's different. You know, some people. It may take you, you know, several days or weeks to sort out, you know, all the loose ends. You know, one devotee, what's his name? He's president in New Zealand. His wife died with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Mahorta? Ma Mahorta? Something like that. Yuga? Something. Anyway, he and his wife are arguing in the morning about staying a few more days in Mayapur. Just a typical, you know, marriage argument. She was saying, no, the children have to go to school. We can't stay any longer. He says, oh, it's better for them to stay here. And they were fighting, you know. Nothing very serious. So he told us, but then they got in the car. She was in the car with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He was behind. The car went off, smashed. Maharaj is dead right away. And she had a brain injury. And it was just, you know, the doctor said 20 minutes. And yeah, she left her body. So he went back to his house in New Zealand. And he said, it was just, you know, just like it was cut like that. There was no preparation, you know. And he said, if he hadn't been a devotee, he said, God, he could have seen it. It would have just been incredible, you know. So the thing was, the most difficult was going through, like, in her closet where her clothes were, in the drawers, because everything was like, it meant something. You know, you could see, like, it was all meant this and that and everything else. But he said, as a devotee, he could see, yeah, she's not dead, you know. But yeah, we have to sort a lot of things out. And even like some things, emotional things, I would have told her if I know she's going to die. There's certain things I would have discussed, you know, like that. You know, but you can still do that, right? The connection is still there. You know, it's all a matter of just, you know, of desire and concentration like that. Yeah, so everybody is different. You know, different relationships like that. You know. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Huh? That was the second one. Right? Yeah.
The Lord speaks about prescribed duties.
Yeah.
So how do you come to know that the one that you're doing right now is the right one? Like, people change their fields.
Yeah.
The field of work.
So what do you think? How do you know what is prescribed duty? Bhagavad Gita, third chapter. All living beings subsist on food grains. Food grains come from rain. Rain comes from prescribed duty. And prescribed duty comes from? Yeah, it's described. You know, this is what a brahmana should do. This is what a kshatriya should do. This is what a vaishya should do. This is what a shudra should do. This is what ladies should do. This is what children should do. This is what adults should do. This is what sannyasi should do. There's so much. you know, like that. And then finally, of course, Yudhisthira, you know, and that's a real question, because he thought he was going to go to hell, because, you know, 640 million people had died, so he could sit on the big throne. So he was feeling, if I just told Arjuna, I won't take it, no matter what you do, then Arjuna wouldn't have fought. And then all those people would be alive. Right? So he thought he'd done the wrong thing. So nobody, not even Krishna, could convince him he was doing the right thing. But finally he saw Bhishma Dev, and we have a movie. It went in Peru last year. It's about six times as good as our first movie, The Disappearance of Bhishma Dev. It's really good. It's like images went directly down there. It was really good. So he said, no, you're following God, the Brahmanas, the Vedic scriptures. You know, basically, chant good rounds, God, holy names, right? Associate with the holy names, and you'll see, like, you get a clear impression, like, what is things? Vedic scriptures, reading Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada gets so many details, right? Keep on going on and on and on and on. The basic principles are there again, you know? At least you're not making any big mistakes, you know, just following Prabhupada's books. Then after a while, you'll find specific details, you know, for, you know, so many details about their situations.
Yeah? But Prabhupada always says that, you know, your varna comes not from your birth, necessarily from who your father was, but from the qualities you have. So then how do you know what if you're a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or Vaishya or Shudra? You know?
Again, by chanting Hare Krishna, you get some super soul talks to you. And by reading Prabhupada's books, you see, like, this is the qualities of Brahmin. Srimad Bhagavatam, as far as I can understand, Srimad Bhagavatam is more about Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma than it does about Bhakti Yoga. The Goswamis pull that out. But mostly it's talking about, for example, one story, there's the good girl and the bad girl, right? Ditti and Aditi, right? Pregnancy of Ditti in the evening. No, pregnancy of Ditti in the evening and Devahuti and Kardama, like that. One is, you know, proper marriage, everything else, and good children. Other one is like they get a little bit, you know, actually she wasn't even lusty for sense gratification. She was a little bit, her feelings were hurt. Very subtle thing. She wasn't like gross thing. She was feeling like, yeah, it's quite natural. It was, all the rest of my wives have children, you know, and I don't have a baby, you know, like that. You know? Yeah. So that's a Varna Ashram story for ladies. Ladies can read this and see, oh, okay, this is a danger. I've got to watch out. You know, I shouldn't become, if I'm getting frustrated and because the other girls in the temple have, you know, better saris than I do, and or something, you know, like, watch out, you know, like that. And daksha. So many subtle things are there in Prabhupada's books about varna and ashram and details like that. So chant good rounds, read Prabhupada's books, and then brahmanas, you know, ask six good devotees. It's a really important thing. And you get, if you ask six nice devotees, you get really, and I've done this, you come to this free house. This is it. Even though I don't know everything, I know how to proceed. And later on, we'll figure out some more. I have several times experience. Yeah. So even if you go to hell for doing the wrong thing, you'll have your japa beads, Prabhupada's books, and six devotees will be with you. It's okay? Will there be prasadam also? Yeah, okay, we'll have prasadam too. Yeah. Yeah, so basically chant good rounds, read Prabhupada's books, and associate with devotees. And honestly, you can see. You can ask your friends, like, about buying a house, or, you know, taking care of my parents, or, you know, what should I do? And, you know, it becomes pretty clear. Yeah, okay. So, you know, best thing is to stay here and work, but send back, like, so much money each month. You know, it's practical things like that. So your parents say, well, no, please come back with us. And you say, no, okay. Okay? Okay. 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 Last question. Who are the guys, devotee? Markandeya?
Yes.
Czechoslovakian Sankirtan devotee?
Yes, of course.
He said when you go on Sankirtan, you've got to practice the iron smile. people insulting you and causing everything else. He said, you just give them the iron smile, you know? So we go chat. Why don't we RT 8 o'clock or something?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But you like to chant?
Why don't we get kind of? I think it's I follow the program. I'm a ritualistic guy. That's why I'm not going to go to Vrindavan. I'm going to go to Vaikuntha. Now I was in Vrindavan. Am I very strong sannyas karma? Why is this guy looking at this? He says, you're going to have like, as the guy said, $10 in your pocket your whole lifetime. With inflation, maybe it's 20, you know, like that. You know. But he said for handling other people's money, I'd never seen such a big line. So the first job I got was the treasurer in the temple. And literally, I would go to the bank in Berkeley sometimes with $35,000 in cash. Now, with inflation, we're probably looking at something like about $60,000 in cash. And I had a belt, I had a rope for a belt, had holes in my pants, and I had no interest. And somebody else, you walk around with that much money for a while, your mind starts, Yeah, coming up with excuses like, and this and that, But my mind just doesn't think that way. Yeah, it's just my nature. So women have natural faults of being a woman. The sannyasis have natural faults too. What are the natural faults of the sannyasi?
Detachment.
Yeah, tendency towards impersonalism. So I just kind of everybody go to hell. Just renounce everything, be renounced. So you can't be king unless you're married. Because without the feminine association, his tendency is not to be, to relate to these things like that. So the king always has to be with the queen in the darbar. And then there's a proper, proper arrangement for management and stuff like that. So I was in Vrindavan and, being kind of just, renounced about things. And then she runs the Vrijbasi girl, Mataji. She's in charge of Prabhupada's rooms. Really old Mataji. She's Vrijbasi. And so she said hello to me and I was kind of like, being formal, this and that. And she's, oh, Maharaj. It's like, go home with your sannyas dharma, go to Vaikuntha, Yeah. So everybody, it's different. Going up, we were in Vrindavan with Bhakti Bringa Maharaj, Ayodhyapati, like, I don't know, like 1984 or something like that, even before. And he was trying to convince one Vrijbasi guy to sell him cheese, paneer, for this festival, big festival. She needed somebody I like, and be like, 65 kilos of paneer, 120 kilos, 200 kilos, a lot. And the guy wanted to sell it to him for, he wanted to sell it for 40 rupees a kilo or something, something like that. But he'd bring him ours saying 20, And so then I was just sitting there, and then the guy said, well, 35. And he said, no, 22. And he said, well, okay, 30. He said, okay, no, 24. And he said, no, 30. He said, no, 24. He said, no, 30. He said, 24. Then Bhakti Bringamaraj grabbed him and kissed him on the cheek. The guy said, all right, 24. And so then Bhakti Bringamaraj looked at me and said, Vrindavan is a land of lawless love. He gets it. But it is. Not homosexuality. But it's a whole different world. So everybody's trying to advance, right? There's no limit to how much you can advance. And so there's no fixed program. Everybody's on a different level. Everybody's got a different karma. And so everybody's got a different program, bhakti yoga. And all you can do is talk to other people, associate, and find out how to solve your problem. But you've got to solve your own problems. And that's why Krishna is interested in everybody. Because everybody's got a difference. So Krishna's taking interest in everybody like that. Yep. Okay. So we're back again. We've pretty much been traveling. The Brajmanda Parikrama was interesting again. It's like the seventh time I've done it or something like that. And it's changed. The first time I did it was about 150 people, and this time there were about 450 to 500 people on the Parikrama. And the only Western white guys on the whole thing with myself and Trikalagya, and then a couple more. And it's, practically speaking, inaccessible for Westerners at this point. Because the cooking is all Indian cooking. One day they had made pasta for the Westerners. And that evening, all the Westerners were out vomiting and passing. Because it was, Indian idea of pasta. It's like Gaur Sundar's wife. She's from Lucknow. Naimisharanya, Lucknow. And so Hridayananda Maharaj came down for breakfast and he said, oh, do you want some oatmeal? My husband has oatmeal for breakfast every day. He said, oh, okay, So he sat down, the oatmeal was salty with chilies in it. And so that's I told Lokanath, Lokanath, we see Lokanath Maharaj in the Parikrama, why aren't Westerners coming? And like that. You know, we want them to take advantage of this. And that's one thing I was saying, is God is, you know, the only thing that you can eat after a few days is boiled sabji and rice, you know. And it, all the Indians must think that's all the Westerners eat, is boiled sabji and rice. That's all they're eating like that. But everything else is just, it's too hot, too spicy, too much oils. You know, for, you know, maybe one day, but two or three days, you start all that pressure on your body, too, from walking and the different things. And just in general, again, it's like 15 kilometers a day. You know, it's like 7.5 miles a day walking barefoot like that. And then one day, the authorities decided we should go two distances in one day. It's about 30 kilometers in one day. We started before Mongol Artik. About every eight people, there was a flashlight walking in the dark. You're going through mud and nodding like that. You know, so somebody was quoting from the what is it, the Tennyson's poem, "The Charge of the Light Brigade." Ours is not to reason why. Ours is but to do or die. But somebody made a mistake. That was incredible. It's incredible yoga. You know, after about 15 kilometers, your mind just closes down. There's not enough energy to run your mind anymore. It's a fact. You just can't think. All you do is you fix your mind on the feet of the person in front of you, and you keep walking. Just like that, you know. And I started chanting one maha mantra for each step, you know. This thing, and this thing that we had with Majapaba's toes, that was like that. Yeah. And finally we arrived in Daoji, like that. You know. So it's really, it's incredible. All the people I took with me who were, you know, complaining about all the things like that, they all so difficult, this and that, impossible. But they all said, too, that there's no other way to get this experience. You know, I mean, you're literally beaten down into the dust of Vrindavan. It's like you're just your mind and everything else like that. You're, you know, sleeping out there, everything else, unbelievable. You know, so it's a very wonderful experience, you know, advertising it. And so I finished that again. And when I was coming off, it was amazing. All of my attachment for the Parikrama was just disappearing. The very last walk, it was just like going away. And my mind was like, you know, all the things that inspire me, it was like, wow, you know, it was like, and then it was like a thought came, well, you know, how many times did Lord Chaitanya do Rajana Parikrama? Like, there one time. He done it seven times. And what did he do? Well, he stayed one place, and he would walk, you know, back and forth, right? You know? So it's kind of like, we all have our plans, we're trying to do something in Krishna consciousness. Okay, but at some point, Krishna may make a decision. Pandavas retire timely, right? And you see then you're just, you're, you know, my mind. No, Baba, my mind. It's just your intelligence, all this changes, and suddenly you're one of my disciples. It's Ananga Manjari in Peru. It's like she wanted to get out of the house, to have more independence, get married, so she had more freedom, right? And so she got married, she had a baby, Daniela. She brought Daniela home, and the second day, she's changing her diapers, and she's looking at her and realizing, God, now I'm more trapped, you know, than I was before. She's thinking like that. And she said her daughter could, like, you know, the baby could sense that she was being rejected. And she started crying, you know. And then at that and basically she could feel she was saying, but what am I supposed to do? I'm here. Like she said. She said at that point, this intelligence just descended upon her. I am a mother. And that just came that way. Yeah. So this year, the parikrama and different things, right? And then also your karma changes. You know, is it, you know, you can contact different things you could do before you just can't do anymore, right? And things you couldn't do before. About six years ago, I was in the Santa Cruz Library, you know, living on this. I was sleeping on, actually sometimes I had to sleep under the trees there. There's no place to stay, so I just go buy a $20 sleeping bag from Kmart. I found some convenient trees, and I would sleep there and feel a couple drops of rain, but I think, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. And it was all, you know, it all worked out. Yeah. The restaurant was Bamanachan? Yeah, the restaurant program like that. So then I was in the library, and Prabhupada said, a devotee can do this, a devotee can do that, or a devotee can write articles or write poetry for Krishna. So the second I saw it, my mind went, oh yeah, okay, see, Prabhupada said that I can stop traveling, I can just start writing and stuff. But the second I was thinking that, I heard Prabhupada's like kind of voice in my mind saying, yeah, we'll get to that. Now you just keep traveling, I'm sleeping under trees, you know, preaching. So it's kind of like this year, we got to that. It's kind of like, it was fact. Yeah. So now I'm working more on the, trying to do work on really substantial writing projects and stuff like that, developing them. Because we have the contacts now. We have enough people that are, intelligent people, well-situated, and they're looking for something. It's kind of like people saying, hey, had your food, heard your music, what's next? The world's saying that, When are you going to have all these self-sufficient farm communities? Yeah. Okay. It's cow protection. Yeah. So it's a lot of it. You have to go, as you're maturing, you have to go through different stages like that.
And the younger generation has to take over. Okay? All right? She's nodding.
It's like that. So don't worry, we'll give you a stool and you do the RT. You can dress the deities on a chair like that. When the Pujari school, you've got to start dressing Radha and Krishna every day. The world's smallest Pujari. No, we're at the Panihati Festival. And there's, all these sannyasis there in Atlanta. There's big kirtans going on. All the Hari Hari bulls are just in the right place. And everything is just, it's a good kirtan. But nobody could see the sankirtan leader, the kirtan leader. And all these people are commenting, who's chanting like that? So it was Tanu. Remember Tanu? Mm-hmm. Musha? Musha was leading the kirtan. He was like this big. He's like, how old is he? He's like, maybe like five. Then he's like 5 years old. Yeah, it was the whole thing was completely correct. The whole Gaur Artik. It was just like ritualistic, and everyone's like, "This looking, this chanting." It's like, he's tall. So everybody, we have our careers in Krishna consciousness, and Krishna's controlling things, And it's a fact. We're being guided. Everything else like that, making decisions. And then that's how Krishna does it. At some point, you see, tesham evanu kampartam. See, the dancing there too. Yeah, Krishna's in our heart. He says that. It's a fact. We should actually experience that we're being given intelligence. And we probably say, when I need to know something about a disciple, Krishna informs me, and usually externally. So something happens externally, but we understand internally, this Krishna's arranging this. Meetings so I understand these things like that. Okay. So Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Advaita Acharya ki.
Jai.
Thank you all very much.
Jai.
Ramchandra Bhagavan ki.
Jai.